When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The first Sunday of the NFL season is here, and the excitement continues with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. DraftKings is giving all new customers a can't-miss offer to celebrate the return of the NFL season. Bet just $1 on any football game this weekend and receive $200 in free bets instantly, no matter what. DraftKings is safe, reliable, and secure, making it easy for you to deposit and withdraw your money at your convenience. And if you're in a non-sportsbook state, don't worry, because DraftKings is home to daily fantasy sports, filled with weekly cash prizes and multiple ways to win. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code THPN to receive $200 in free bets when you place $1 bet on any week one game. That's promo code THPN to get your free $200 in free bets instantly. This week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older, New Jersey, Indiana, and Pennsylvania only. New customers only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER or, in Indiana, 1-800-9-WITH-IT.
This is the Hockey Podcast Network, your home for hockey talk on every team in the NHL.
This is the Broadway Boys Podcast through the Hockey Podcast Network, and we are back with Season 2, Episode 75. Holy shit, 75 episodes. Another solo one from me. Andy's on the IR right now, not feeling too well, so we're all wishing Andy the very best, and hopefully he makes a speedy recovery. Kind of a lot to talk about. One of the things I wanted to talk about right off the bat was Adam Fox being a breakout player of projected breakout player of 2022, and the list. I might have touched on this the last time I was on the podcast, but I'm going to relay this into a bigger Adam Fox question, I guess I should say. Adam Fox does not get any respect around the National Hockey League. The guy won the Norris Trophy, and you would think that he's entering his rookie season. Like, he was just drafted last summer. It's unbelievable. So first, he was on that list of the projected breakout players. Now, he just won the Norris. I don't know if you can break out any more than winning the Norris Trophy as a defenseman. I mean, that's kind of like the Stanley Cup of individual awards for defensemen, is winning the Norris Trophy. Adam Fox just did that, and he's on a list for players to watch to break out in 21-22. Now, I don't know if the person behind this list was like, no, we expect him just to be like winning, the Stanley Cup all by himself. Like, I don't know if that's like what they thought the next step is for Adam Fox. But it's absolutely ridiculous that he was on this list. And I would almost believe that they maybe expect more from him if every other player on the list was players that you're like, oh man, they're good, but they really just haven't had that step of pure dominance. Where Adam Fox is one of the most dominant defensemen in the National Hockey League. He's one of the best all-around defensemen in the National Hockey League. He won the Norris Trophy. So for that list to even come out from NHL.com is a complete joke and just shows the incompetence of some of the lists that I see out there. It's amazing that people have the gonads to just send these lists out. It's unbelievable. Now, I'm not saying I know everything, but you can't just, if you're NHL.com, you cannot throw out a list as ridiculous as that one. I mean, every comment was like, why is Adam Fox on this list? Like, literally every single one. Now, I do know a thing about 4D chess. And I do think some of these lists are put out there on purpose to get clicks, likes, and comments. So if NHL.com put Adam Fox on that list, knowing there would be an uprising in the comment section about why Adam Fox is on that list, then touche, I tip my hat to them. But again, the NHL.com really shouldn't be playing that game. Like, that's something I would see from Steve Alliquette. I don't need it to be coming from NHL, NHL.com, or anything like that. You know, it's just, it's sloppy. I don't need it from ESPN. It's just like, they need to, like, stick to their guns. They don't need to be making clickbait and throwing stuff up there that they know is just going to get clicks for the sake of getting clicks. So, there we go from there. Sorry, went to Bonefish Grill, had myself a Chilean sea bass. Pretty solid, but now I got, I'm burping all night. It's going to be done. And a garlic mash, which were always delightful. Next stop on the Adam Fox train here, we got Adam Fox doesn't deserve the Norris Trophy talk. I don't know. I know there's a Mr. Weisler that does listen to this. I don't know if it's the Mr. Weisler that made this comment. He'll know who he is, but the fact that Adam Fox doesn't deserve to win a Norris. Well, my whole thing is, if you're starting a fantasy hockey team, right? If you're a GM and you're picking a hockey team to build upon, and you can pick any player, and you have to start with the defenseman, who's the first defenseman you're going to pick? Now, everyone knows that's probably going to be Victor Hedman, right? But then after that, you could say Cale Makar. Okay, that's fine. After that, do you want to say Tyson Barrie? After that, do you want to say Chris Letang? John Carlson? Theodore? Dougie Hamilton? Like Quinn Hughes? I don't know. Like, I understand where you can make arguments on that theory or that line of thinking where you're like, well, he's not the best defenseman in the National Hockey League because if you're starting, you know, if you're a GM and you're starting a team, you wouldn't take Adam Fox first. Well, it's like, right, but it's like based off the season and, you know, just looking at his stats right off the bat, you know, he was second in the NHL last year in points. He had one less point and one less game than Tyson Barrie. Tyson Barrie also played on Edmonton, which was a very high-scoring team. The New York Rangers were, you know, if you look at the teams that these defensemen are on at the top of the point list, the New York Rangers are definitely the worst team out of that bunch. I mean, you got the Tampa Bay Lightning, Pittsburgh Penguins, Colorado Avalanche, Washington Capitals, Vegas Golden Knights, Edmonton Oilers. All those teams are better than the New York Rangers were last year. I mean, look at the Rangers. They were a shit show last year. It was they were the definition of inconsistency. But Adam Fox was one of those pieces that were like, you know, he stabilized that back end. He was, you know, productive on the offensive side of the puck. He could play shutdown defense against any line in the NHL. I mean, he really was the best overall defenseman last year. And I'm not saying that going into next year, if you're starting a fantasy team, that you have to take Adam Fox. All I am saying is that Adam Fox last year was the best defenseman in the National Hockey League overall, for sure. And, you know, you might find a stat that's maybe weaker than everybody else. But the fact of the matter is, if you take everything, if you take the big picture and you take everything and you lump it all together, Adam Fox is at the top of your list. And I'm sorry, it's just the nature of the beast. And Cale Makar, a victim of injury. He played 11 fewer games than Adam Fox. But guess what? That's the nature of the beast. You got to be healthy. Like, how many times have you seen players have an excellent start of the year, then they get hurt, and then, you know, they're not. Look at DeGrom on the Mets. He was having a Cy Young year. He got hurt. Guess what? He doesn't win Cy Young. It's not based off of what the games that you have played. It's based off of what you've done the entire season. And Adam Fox did more than Cale Makar last year. That's it. That's just the facts. So this whole thing last year, and like, I'm so sick and tired too of the argument, and I totally get it too, the argument that like there's so many defensemen that do all the little things and they just don't show up on a stat line. And I believe that 100%, but Adam Fox does those things too. So he's doing those things too, and he puts up the points. That's why he's a Norris Trophy winner. If the other person was putting up points and doing the shutting down, then yeah, he'd be up for the Norris. But Adam Fox is doing that, so he wins the Norris. And that's it. Like, there's nothing else to it. Like, I don't know why there's such resistance to just let Adam Fox be a Norris-winning defenseman and one of the best defensemen in the league. I mean, the NHL should be... I don't know why the NHL, every commercial should be Cal McCarr, Adam Fox, Quinn Hughes, you know, like all these cool young defensemen that are entering the National Hockey League. Exploit them. Show them. Like, this is the future of the league. And they're just so hesitant to just be like, you know, take this baton and run with it. This is the youth. This is the next generation of hockey players that are going to be dominating the NHL for the next, you know, 10 to 12 years. And, you know, I still think they're all caught up in the Matthews and the Eichel generation. And it's like, yeah, they're great. But, you know, hockey has changed so much that really since Eichel and Matthews and McDavid entered the National Hockey League, the amount of talent that has just come in behind them has been absolutely tremendous. And you really are seeing such a special game since then, and it's amazing to see how talented, you know, teams are from top to bottom. Even like, you know, even teams that obviously are at the bottom of the standings, they still have some very gifted hockey players, and it's pretty impressive to see. And you know, the NHL, I don't know if they, you know, want to just grasp on to what has worked in the past and how they were able to sell Crosby and Ovechkin. And then now they're like, their players are McDavid, you know, and Matthews and Eichel, and they got to kind of run with those players. But there's so many players right now that are just so gifted that the NHL should really just be looking to exploit all of these players and just kind of have that full league outreach instead of always highlighting the same teams with the same players. It gets boring after a while, you know, and like, if you ask any, I wouldn't say casual hockey fan, but like, the hockey fan that like is like, oh, you know, the playoffs are here. Like, let me check it out. They probably have no idea who McKinnon is. Like, the guy's never in any commercials. I never see him in any interviews. It's just like, if you're not a Colorado Avalanche fan, you would never know who McKinnon is. And it's just a shame. It really is. The NHL does such a disservice to the entire league by not promoting all their players instead of just focusing on the two that like everybody on the sidewalk in Manhattan can, you know, the name, and it's Crosby, Ovechkin. It's like, come on, can we be better than this? Like, there's so many more players than those guys, and they're coming up through the ranks, and Adam Fox is one of them, and the NHL and the fans of other teams just need to deal with it. The guy's an unbelievable defenseman, and it's a shame that it just never gets any respect. And it's funny, because the person I'm talking about is an Islander fan, and Islanders are Mr. No Respect at all. I mean, they're not even talked about. The conversation started with the Islanders. Well, it was NHL Network, and they were talking about who's the favorite to win the Stanley Cup next year. And the guy picked the Florida Panthers, and which is a fine pick. I don't agree with it at all, but it's a fine pick. Like, it is what it is. I have nothing wrong with the pick. But he said because they gave Tampa the toughest time. And it's like, did you not watch the playoffs at all? The Islanders took Tampa to game 7. The Islanders gave Tampa the toughest time. They were one game away from winning the Stanley Cup because they would have blown the doors off of the Montreal Canadiens. It's an absolute joke. And this is coming from a Rangers fan that I don't know why, but New York seems to get shafted all the time with hockey. And, you know, thank God we have Lundqvist. Because they would have never, they wouldn't even have put us in NHL 16 or NHL 17 or NHL 15 if we didn't have Lundqvist. I really do. I think they would have just left the Rangers out of it. And the Islanders, too, should be pissed because you get no respect. No one even talks about you. You guys lost to the Stanley Cup champions in Game 7, Eastern Conference Finals. You guys were the second best team in the National Hockey League last year, and literally nobody talks about you or gives you any props or projects you to do anything next year. It's unbelievable. The Islanders, and I can't stand this. They're like the underdog next year. Like, no one talks about them. So, I don't know. It's just, and they got better. I personally think that they got better. They are deeper. I feel like they got a little bit more experience. you know, adding Parise and extending Paul Mary, and just some of the moves that they were able to make. It just seems a little bit more, that roster is a little bit more deeper, experienced, and, you know, they have a chip on their shoulder. They're the underdog, which is insane, and, you know, I don't know. With the underdog mentality, you can do anything. And when you're as gifted as the New York Islanders and as well coached as the New York Islanders, you certainly can win a Stanley Cup. And it scares the beloved shit out of me, because I don't want the Islanders to win a Stanley Cup. Game 7 against the Tampa Bay Lightning was one of the most stressful hockey games I've ever been through. That wasn't a New York Rangers hockey game. So I'm just going to leave that there. Okay. The next thing I want to talk about is the NHL is allowing their players to play in the 2022 Olympics in Beijing. Unbelievable. I love it. Some people want amateurs in there. I don't get it. The amateurs being in the Olympics is not really the Olympics. Like, I think the Olympics are the best people at that particular event. If you put Team USA or Team Canada against a bunch of amateurs, they're going to get blown out. Now, I know 1980 happened, but it's called the Miracle on Ice for a reason. It was a miracle that they beat a bunch of professionals that played with each other. You know, it's unbelievable that, like, anybody would want anything different. So, projected team, obviously we'll probably get into this with Andy, but, you know, I just kind of want to talk about, you know, some of the players that I'm excited and some of the players that, you know, I can't wait to watch play together. And I'll start on the defensive side. You know, I really think it'd be really cool, Adam Fox and Charlie McAvoy playing with each other. Some people have those two paired together. I would definitely have them paired together. I think they'd be a really cool pairing to watch. You know, I just think the hockey IQ there is just off the charts. With Adam Fox and, you know, Charlie McAvoy, their ability to, create offense on the dime, and just their ability to move the puck, and, you know, it's just, they're two of the best defensemen in the National Hockey League. They're unbelievable. So I can't wait to watch those two play together, and hopefully they do. Looking at some of the projected teams, you got Quinn Hughes and John Carlson. This is just one. Where is this one from projected team? I have a few of them up here, but I'll just stick with this one, I guess. I don't even know where the hockeywriters.com. It's probably one of the first ones that pop up when you look at projected teams. Quinn Hughes, John Carlson. Obviously, it's really cool that Quinn Hughes is on here. Cool young defenseman that the NHL should be, you know, obviously, you know, salivating at to expose and you know, just. You know, if you're a hockey fan, you're going to want to be interested in what Quinn Hughes is for USA Hockey. Another young defenseman with Adam Fox that is going to move through the ranks and be one of the league's best defensemen. John Carlson, obviously been there, done that. He'll be one of the vets on the team. I would imagine he gets a letter. Not sure if he does or not, though, given who else is on the team. And he probably won't, looking at some of the forwards. So then they have Zach Werenski and Seth Jones. Now, obviously, they were teammates for a while in Columbus. I just don't see how this is the first pairing. And this is the first pairing. They had Adam Fox and Charlie McAvoy as the third pairing. Zach Werenski and Seth Jones. I don't know how that's the first pair. I really don't. I mean, I know Werenski's good. Seth Jones is, I feel like, taking a nosedive. He's been one of my favorite defensemen in the league for a while, but now I can see that he's kind of, you know, taking a back seat to some of these younger guys like Quinn Hughes, Adam Fox, you know, Charlie McAvoy. You know, I just don't see him being a top two USA defenseman. So, question marks on that. But I think he'll be on it. The hockey writers have Torrey Krug and Jacob Slavin as the extra defensemen. I don't really know what to think of that. I mean, you can literally piece any of those, how many, 8 defensemen in there, and I guess I'd be fine with it. Just question marks on why Seth Jones and Werenski is the first pairing. I mean, maybe because they played together and they might have the best chemistry, but I don't know. Goaltending. Connor Hellebuyck, obviously going to be the number one goalie. I mean, Hellebuyck is just an absolute stud. He's, you know, held the Jets, you know, in in playoff contention year after year. He really just is a great goalie. John Gibson as the backup and Thatcher Demko as the third. That might be maybe the most boring second and third goalies that I could think of in the Olympics. So, Johnny Gaudreau, Austin Matthews, Patrick Kane, line one. Johnny Gaudreau. I believe Austin Matthews is the number one C. I believe Patrick Kane is the number one right winger. Johnny Gaudreau has got a lot to prove this year. I don't see how he's the top left wing that USA has to offer. I feel like there are other guys like Kyle Connor and Jake Guentzel that probably deserve that spot. But if we're going based off of some sort of chemistry, maybe they fit together. I don't know. I don't see how it happens. Second line, they have Kyle Connor, Jack Eichel, and Brock Besser. That's a solid line. Jack Eichel, though, is question mark. Is he going to be able to play at the Olympics? That'd be a huge blow to the USA hockey team if he can't play. So, something to look out for. Obviously, that was the Jack Eichel talk. Where is he going to go? Nobody knows. I'm pretty sure he's staying in Buffalo. That's what I know. He's got a new agent, but I don't know. Something tells me he's staying in Buffalo. And he's going to have the surgery, and they're going to write it off as a loss, and they'll have $10 million extra on the books. So, all right. Third line, Jake Guentzel, Dylan Larkin, Max Pacioretty. Another solid line. Would like to see Max Pacioretty step it up this year. I feel like he got into the playoffs and kind of disappeared for Vegas. And I know he's now in his early 30s, probably 33 this year. So, it's starting to be like, is the window closing on Max Pacioretty hype? I don't know. Dylan Larkin, dynamic young center, obviously a ton of speed. I think he'd be a perfect third line center for Team USA, paired with Jake Guentzel. Jake Guentzel is one of those players, man. Like, you always think, like, is he just a product of Crosby, or is he just a good player on his own? He's just a great player. I mean, every year I feel like he gets more mature and better, and shows you that he can do everything he's doing with Crosby, but he can do it on his own. So love this kid. You can obviously probably swap Jake Guentzel with Johnny Gaudreau and put Jake on the first line with Austin Matthews and Patrick Kane, and that line I think would hum, absolute hum. All right, fourth line. Let me take a sip of water here. Oh man. All right. Fourth line, Brady Tkachuk, JT Miller, Matthew Tkachuk. Obviously, you got to have the brothers together. I mean, that's a must. With JT Miller as their center, I mean, that's just, I feel like it's going to be a scumbag line. I kind of like it. It's going to be, they're going to have a little edge to them. They're going to be, how do I put it? They're going to be chippy. They're going to be, just tough to play against. I'm looking for a word that's not scumbag, but gritty is too overused. I don't know. I'll have to make up a word to describe this line. But this is very, very Mighty Ducks-ish with the Bash Brothers and JT Miller just, centering these two. I love this line. I really do. JT Miller, extra New York Ranger. I kind of like, his game. Had a few years in Tampa and then went to Vancouver. JT Miller's just one of those guys, I think, you don't really know about him until he's on your team. And then when he's on your team, you kind of appreciate him. He plays with an edge, plays with a lot of passion. I loved him as a New York Ranger. So I'm glad to see that he's getting a nod representing, his country. I believe he's a Pennsylvania boy from Pittsburgh, played for the Pittsburgh Hornets. I got my inner, not Doc, what the hell is that? Pierre Maguire in me right now. And then the extra forwards, Alex DeBrincat and Jack Hughes. Jack Hughes will probably be in for Jack Eichel. That wouldn't be the worst, swapping the Jacks. Jack is Jack Eichel. Jack E is in recovery for a surgery on his back. And Jack Hughes is going to be, second line center on Team USA. I mean, it makes sense. I wouldn't mind that at all. I think Jack Hughes will have a better season this year. I really do. I think he's one of those guys that physically had to mature in order to play in this hockey league. So, all right, that's all I got for the U.S. Olympic roster. What else did I want to talk about? Oh, yeah, the NHL put out another article about the top, like, 100, I think, players in the league. And it's just, I don't want to get into the actual list. Maybe Andy will. But it's just, you know, it's just one of those things where this is such a hard thing to do because you have certain players that are at the beginning of their career that have nothing to really, you can't base anything off them except you what you think they'll be. Because if you go off of what they currently are, it's like, well, how do you compare that to, like, let's just say a player like Evgeny Malkin. Like, Malkin, what he's been able to do and dominate this league for so long, you know, where do you put him against maybe a guy that, you know, is kind of fresher in this league and building up to something, and Evgeny is, like, building down. But yet they're both, like, comparable. It's like, do you put Malkin above it since he's won Stanley Cups and been dominating the NHL for the last 10 years? Or do you, you know, or do you give the nod to the kid that's been here for 2 years, similar amount of points, and really hasn't done anything in terms of trophies? So it's so tough, and these lists are so arbitrary. And again, I really do think that they put them out there just to get discussions going. So yeah, that's all I have about that. I mean, I'll ask Andy's opinion on what he thinks of all these, like, lists that get put out there, but just absolutely brutal. So in bigger news, and this is the main thing I wanted to talk to Andy about and just get his feelings, but Christian Dvorak was traded to the Montreal Canadiens by the Arizona Coyotes on Saturday. Well, ain't that some shit, because that's the center that Andy always wanted. Christian Dvorak, great defensive center, stability to the, you know, Montreal Canadiens center core. Obviously, the Canadiens just lost, God, I can't say his name. I'm going to try to sound this out. Kotkaniemi. I can't say that word. So I don't know what I'm going to do. Good thing I don't really have to talk about him unless when the Rangers play the Hurricanes. So the Montreal Canadiens lose Kotkaniemi, and they lost Philip Deneau to LA. So, you know, obviously they needed to bring in a center to, like, you know, fill that void. Otherwise, they were looking at just a completely depleted center, you know, depth, and, you know, that's what makes you go, you know, especially in the playoffs and just the regular season, you need center depth. So they had to make an offer to find a center out there. They did it. They got a guy that, you know, obviously is going to be, you know, an immediate, you know, force in the NHL. He's going to be a guy that's going to be there to take faceoffs, to play defense, and just be a stabilizing presence for the Montreal Canadiens. Now, I do think, you know, the Canadiens have a lot to improve upon. I know they made it to the conference and the Stanley Cup final, but, you know, they really, you know, they, I feel like they're an outlier. You know, talking about the miracle on ice, this was kind of that type of run for them. I don't think you'll even see them. They could be not in the playoffs next year. As horrible English as that was, they cannot be in the playoffs next year, and I wouldn't be surprised. So, yeah, that's my thoughts on them. To go back on the same subject with Kotkaniemi, he joins the Hurricanes. Canadians obviously couldn't match that offer sheet. So, you know, good on the Hurricanes. I'm glad they made this move. It starts discussion of other restricted free agents out there. You know, will they be offer sheeted? I hope so. I hope we see something, even if it's not related to the Rangers. You know, I hope we see some team, you know, offer sheet. You know, I was also listening to NHL Network, and they're also talking about, you know, will the San Jose Sharks be, you know, kind of immediate sellers? You know, will players that, you know, I don't know if they said Timo Meier. One of the players on the Sharks came out and said that he, you know, was wanted to be traded. Obviously, with the stuff with Evander Kane, Carlson stinks. Their entire team just stinks. So they're going to have a tough year. Some of their better players are going to be asked to be traded. Rangers can afford them. Excuse me. You got the Chilean Seabass just coming back up the other direction. So, Yeah, and then what else did I want? There was one more thing that I wanted to talk about. I'm not sure. I don't know. There was one more thing that I wanted to talk about, but I forget what it was. Oh. So today I found, well, I didn't find them. My parents brought home from my youth all these signed pucks, and I went through them. Some of them are beauties. Some of them are from unbelievable players. But some of them are from players that I didn't even know existed. So you're probably asking me, like, how I was able to find it. Yeah, you look at the name, the number, the year you think you got the puck, and then you try to match it with a name. That's how in-depth I got a little bit today. So I want to, you know, bring up a couple of the players that I found and see what Andy thinks, if he even remembers them being a professional hockey player for the New York Rangers. So I'm going to have Andy, give Andy a little quiz next podcast, and yeah, that's all I got for you right now. So we're just about almost at a half hour. You know, very exciting. It's now September. It's now hockey month. You know, we've got the preseason upon us. And, you know, I can't wait. And, you know, if you have any questions or comments or just want to chirp at us, you know where to find us, the Broadway Boys Pod on Twitter and Broadway Boys Pod on the Instagram. So that's all I got for you. Everyone, have a good Labor Day weekend. Well, I guess when you're listening to this, Labor Day weekend will be over. So I hope you had a good Labor Day weekend, and we will talk to you later in the week.
Thank you for listening to the Broadway Boys Podcast. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at Broadway Boys Pod, and please rate, review, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, SoundCloud, or thehockeypodcastnetwork.com.
You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network on Twitter at HockeyPodNet. New episodes every Monday and Thursday. Download at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.